All right, we'll go ahead and get started this evening. Welcome. We're glad that you can be here. We can have this. It's going to be a good evening. We're looking forward to hearing from God's Word. Pastor's going to give us a little bit from God's Word, and then we're going to hear a bunch of testimonies. It's always good to hear about how the Lord has used the people and money of the church for the advancement of his kingdom and for the ministry. So we're going to hear a bunch of testimonies. Always a good thing to be able to do that. And then we're going to have our voting. This is the annual business meeting, so we're going to be voting for the 2024 budget, as well as deacons, trustees, other positions in the church as well. But that'll be towards the end of the service. And then we're looking forward to wrapping it up, going out and looking at the new missionary display and praying for our missionaries when we head out there at the end of this service. So lots of things happening tonight, and we're looking forward to seeing how the Lord will use it to bring him honor and glory and to encourage our hearts here. I want to start off with some announcements on things that are happening within the church and the ministries of the church. This Wednesday, we do have Fly this week. This is the last week before a break. Is that right, Rex? Yep, this is the last week of Fly before we have a break with the Fly, and that'll come back in January. But we'll have everyone here this coming week, and then we'll also be getting into chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians as we continue to walk our way through 1 Corinthians throughout the rest of this month here. We'll be finishing up the book of 1 Corinthians. Next week, we're looking forward to the Children's Christmas program in the evening. They've been working really hard on that, and I know a lot of effort has been put into that, and always a great evening to do, to come and just to hear the kids sing and do their lines and everything else. So that's always a great time. There's also a great time for family of the kids to come. Some of them saved, some of them not. And so it's an opportunity to share the gospel with people and encourage people who don't typically come to our church here. Afterwards, we are going to do a cookie fellowship and out in the foyer. And Teresa and Debbie are organizing that. And so if you would like to help bring some cookies, help with the organization of that, go ahead and touch base with one of them. That way we can get plenty of cookies here and just enjoy a time of fellowship after the Christmas program next week. We've had some questions about the 24th and the 31st, what those Sundays look like. The 24th and 31st, both of them, we're going to do Sunday school and the morning worship service. The mornings will look normal, and then no evening service in the evenings those days. Those are, as we see the holidays coming along. So that'll be the schedule there. Also, that Wednesday in between, there will be no service that Wednesday as well. So that's just an idea of the schedule coming up and what's going on there. Starting in January, we have the flyer here on the back. There's flyers and brochures on the back there. We have the biblical counseling training starting back up. That's every Monday, January through March, and from 6 to 9. Great opportunity to just learn more about God's Word and how it speaks to the problems of life. And so if you know of someone who wants to attend, you would like to attend, or know someone who would, or if you'd like to go through it again, make sure you mark your calendars accordingly to that. Dave, anything else you would like to say about the biblical counseling training coming up?
Anybody is welcome to come to any of the lectures during the time that's given. And if somebody just wants to hop the course, we just wouldn't want anybody not to come to Christ. So I don't know if that's holding anybody back. We certainly would hope nobody would hold back there.
Good. Thank you for that. And again, with that, we will typically on Sunday mornings we post the topics that will be taught the next Monday, the next day on Monday. And so if there's a topic that piques your interest, you're more than welcome to come hear the teaching about that topic and so on. So that'll be a great opportunity to just be praying that the Lord will use that and continue to bless the churches in the tri-state area with this training there. Any other announcements or update on ministries that we need to be made aware of? Yes. You're still looking. Okay, they're organizing snacks, and Pam's organizing that. Still looking for people to help provide some of those snacks, so you can see her for details. Any other ministry updates? One other one before I pray. I just remembered on the if you're part of the nursery, your schedules. The new nursery schedule for December is on the foyer table, so make sure you stop and grab one of those. That way you can see when you will be on the schedule for serving in the nursery. So with that, we'll go ahead and pray. Turn it over to Pastor. So let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for being the God that you are holy, almighty, powerful God that is in control of all things, sovereign. And your will be executed, and you are just and right and true. And yet you are also, at the same time, loving and gracious and merciful and kind. And Lord, we are so thankful that we have the ability to worship you, to serve you, and to make much of your name. Lord, none of that is possible without your grace and your Spirit working in our lives. And we recognize that. And Lord, I pray that we would never get to a spot where that becomes commonplace or that becomes something that we get used to hearing. I pray that every time we hear the gospel and we hear about the good work that you have done in all of our lives that know you, that it would stop us in our tracks and cause us to worship and to give praise, Lord. And Lord, when you call us to yourself, you don't leave us out here as lone rangers just trying to figure it out. You call us to a body of believers that we can do life with. And what a blessing the church is. And what a blessing it is to come together as a family in order to do life together, in order to disciple, in order to minister. And Lord, we just thank you for that. As part of that coming together, there needs to be organization. And we're thankful that your word has given us some direction there. And then through godly individuals, an order has been set here at WBC. And Lord, we have tonight the privilege of voting and making decisions about our budget, what we do with our money, and about our leadership and those who will be serving in various different roles, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would allow us to not just view this as business, but an opportunity to think about the discipleship opportunities, to think about the organization and think about the stewardship that we have for 2024, Lord. We're excited to see what you're going to do in 2024, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to prepare the best we can and then follow you and walk faithfully wherever you may lead. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies that we are going to hear tonight. It's always good to praise your name because of the way that you use and work through in and through WBC, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would all be encouraged by the testimonies, and that you would be magnified through that. Lord, we thank you for the ministries that are going on right now, that you would encourage those who are participating in those ministries. Help them to remember that they are serving you and not the ministry. Help them to remember the goal of the ministry is to see discipleship happening locally and worldwide. Lord, and we thank you for the many different contexts that you give us to fulfill that mission. And I pray that we would do it for your honor and glory. Lord, we thank you again for life and breath and everything, and ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.
If you'll take your Bible and go to Ephesians 2, we'll be there in just a moment. But this evening, we want to do something we've been doing in our recent annual business meetings, which I think is so important. We want to do some celebrating how God has not only provided financially and through people, but advanced to his work here in Wheelersburg and beyond. We do what we do because of what we value. That's true in all of our lives. We do what we do basically because of what we value. That's true for athletes. That's true for musicians who work hard, invest a lot of time and energy in their efforts. It's true for the hardworking business executive. It's true for churches. What we do with our time and money is typically a reflection of what we value. So to determine what a church values, you just basically look at two things. You look at their their calendar and their budget. What we do with our time and what we do with our money reveals what we value. Now, last summer, we did a series as a church called The Joy of Being a God-Centered Church, the DNA of WBC, and we were trying to answer the question, what do we value as a church? Who are we and what do we value? And I laid before us, because this is on my heart, and I believe this is the heart cry of this church, we just value being a God-centered church. This means what God, who God is and what he does is the basis for what we try to be and do as a church. And we took some time to think about various things that that entails, and one of those was from Ephesians chapter 2. If you'll notice these familiar verses 8 through 10, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that's not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10, for we are his, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. God has designed us individually, and that would be true corporately as a church. We are his workmanship. He's working in us. He's got things he wants to accomplish in and through us. Philippians 2 puts it this way. If you turn over to Philippians 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God works in us. That's true all the time. Now, we're going to be hearing some reports tonight which give testimony to that. And as we look back at this past year, these past 12 months have been incredible. We've seen God working in some very obvious ways. But the reality is he's always at work in his church. That was as true 5 years ago, 15. It's always true. God is at work in his church. And we've been thinking this specifically this summer about what he's been working into the DNA that we operate by. And we talked about 12 commitments that we prioritize as a church. We are joyfully committed to, and you might recall these as I just list them, we are joyfully committed to expository preaching, to preaching the whole counsel of God, to sovereign grace and the conversion of a sinner, to God-centered evangelism, to church membership, the idea of really belonging to a local church. We're joyfully committed to church discipline, to biblical church leadership, to growing disciples through progressive sanctification, through targeted discipleship or biblical counseling, through Trinitarian praying, and then through fulfilling our mission locally and worldwide. These are what flow out of who we are, and we celebrate that. We took time to think of those one per week. But that leads to an important question. It's one thing to say that's what we are or that's what we value. There's another question, is there evidence of that to support that? Does the evidence demonstrate the claim? And I think by God's grace and to his glory, the answer is yes. So what we're going to do is just look back at the past year and think about what kind of evidence has been seen that would demonstrate that type of a commitment to God-centered living and ministry. For starters, last December, a year ago, we approved a budget of nearly $250,000, $222,460. And why did we budget the money that we, the way we budget it? And the answer is because at that time, we said something similar. We want to do the things that God values. We tried to think about how could we put together a budget that would reflect what we think would honor him. And so God gave us his holy word, so we value the book he's given us. So we demonstrate this through ministries like Sunday school and through our counseling and discipleship training, through preachers and training, through the preaching of the word and so forth. God exhibits sovereign grace in the conversion of sinners and is committed to redeeming a people from every nation. So we just try and keep in step with that. We seek to cooperate with him in this mission. We put our money and our time towards making him known locally through ministries like Cradle, through our region, through ministries like Scioto Hills and Tri-State Bible College, And of course, then to the nations. You sent me to Nepal for a few weeks recently, and we support missionaries. That's just a part of who we are. We're joyfully committed also to growing disciples. So we devote money and manpower to see this renewal happen in people's lives. And so it's happening regularly. We don't talk a lot about it publicly, nor would it be appropriate, but we offer free biblical counseling to this community, and people come regularly to find help for the problems in their lives, inside the church and outside the church. We schedule our community groups where we design interaction to happen between one another. We invest in our children's ministries, our youth ministry, and so forth. So a year ago, we had those thoughts in mind as we set aside some money and then began to strategize how we would set aside personnel for work in this particular year. So the question is, what's happened? First of all, did the budgeted money come in? Well, not only did it come in, praise the Lord, we've already exceeded budget and we have a month to go. I just looked at the numbers through November, $230,406 has come in. We're budgeted for the whole year to need less than that. So God is, that's not to stop giving now, but that's just, I know Joe's already nervous that I'm announcing that. That just is that God continues to provide abundantly for us, and you're being so generous in your giving. That's $26,000 over budget. How have we used the money the Lord has provided? Well, I look forward in a few weeks in our State of the Church address, the third week or so in January, to addressing that more carefully. But here's just a quick preview of what's happened. Keep in mind that every dollar that we spent, we seek to use it in God-centered, God-glorifying, God-exalting ministry. And that's happened, for instance, through our general fund spending. Over $50,000 of our giving goes for our facilities so we can use this building and the one across the street to make disciples. Utility costs, office supplies, equipment, and so forth. Approximately $12,000 for our what we technically refer to as our disciple-making ministries at home, our children, our youth, VBS, nursery, FLY, fellowship, care, hospitality, technology, things that we use right here in-house to make disciples. $46,290 for making disciples other places, think in terms of missions, supporting local church ministries that I mentioned, such as Cradle, regional ministries, like I mentioned, Scioto Hills, Tri-State, national ministries like Cedarville, ACBC, international discipling ministries through our team of 20-some missionaries serving around the world. And then a lot of our money goes through towards personnel costs, $114,000, staff salaries, professional ministry funds, internship, Medicare, and so forth. We have a variety of things happening because of those funds. We've had some special ministry project spending. The harvest offering was $1,600 approximately. I don't know if any more has come in today towards this year's recipient, which is Tri-State Bible College. We were able to send children from our own church to Scioto Hills Camp in the summer. And again, a fuller report of some of this will happen here in a few weeks. So numbers tell some of the story, but not all of the story. So that's what Pastor Matt was talking about. We want to take some time to hear stories of how God has used the investment of money and time, personnel, to accomplish our mission in some very specific ways. So there's about a dozen or so, maybe 10, so not everybody's here, but we asked to come and give testimonies. How has God worked through, what has God accomplished at WBC through our support of the variety of missionaries that you'll hear represented. So I think I caught most of you as you came in, but this is the order that we're going to go with and just kind of listen to who's in front of you and just come right on up and be prepared to share your two-minute testimony or so about how God has worked this past year. So we're going to start by hearing from the Baptist Children's Home. Linda Brooks will be giving a recorded testimony. Then secondly, through our support of Tri-State Bible College, Rex Howe is going to be sharing. We were going to hear about fly. That was going to be a little later, but I want you to just go ahead and take that one when you're up here. So back to back, Rex will give both those testimonies. Through our sending of our young people to Scioto Hills, Reagan Wilson's going to come and share a testimony. Through our youth ministries, Michael Dow. Through the use of our video and live stream, there's so many things happening in technology. I just asked Aaron if he would give a word and just share whatever. This is just a neat area that continues to be used of the Lord. Through our biblical counseling ministry, Marquita Riepenhoff is going to share. I don't see this person, so I'm not going to mention that one. Through our prayer partner ministry, Ed Ruggles will share. Through our preachers and training ministry, we have a video from Jason Willis. He's on the road to Pittsburgh, I believe, but prepared a video for us to listen to. And then I will finish with a testimony regarding our new missionary display. Allison Mullins had a big part in that. She couldn't be here, but she wrote something, and Pastor Matt will come and share that. After those testimonies, I'll come back up, and we will be talking about the proposed budget and officers and giving some instructions on the voting, and that's how the service will go. So let's start off, first of all, with a testimony from Linda Brooks from the Baptist Children's Home.
Hi, Pastor Brad and the Wheelersburg Baptist Church family. We at BCH are so thankful for you and for your ministry to children in partnership with us. And I'm also thankful to be able to have this opportunity to just say hello and tell you how God is blessing our ministry this year. This year, we've been able to open a new granny home in Zambia. And excitingly, we've been able to move the children from our Grace home from an apartment that was not very nice into their brand new home. We have video calls with the children running from room to room, showing us their bedrooms, the eating area, and their family room where they talk and play and do life together. Outside, we see the kids running on the double lot we were able to purchase. They're harvesting their eggplants from their garden, and the chickens provide breakfast for them on most mornings. It's such a blessing. We were able together to be instrumental in bringing this new blessing to the family. Our Grace leadership had been praying for this new home for years, for decades literally, before we even knew that that home existed and God already had the plan in place. I do want to say a special word of thanks to the Wheelersburg church family. Your church has been such a blessing to BCH and to me personally. I am always blessed on the Wednesday evenings that we get together in the fall, and I get to share with you what's going on at Baptist Children's Home, and even more especially at times, get to share with you what's going on in my life as a leader. You bless me, you encourage me, and I am so thankful for your church family. I really can't even express in words what your partnership means to me individually and to all the children that we care for. So thank you again. God bless you, and have a very Merry Christmas.
All right, Rex.
All right. Got a little handout here for everybody from the Bible College. Just some updates on it. Thank you so much for this time to get to share an update. It's a joy to talk about Tri-State Bible College and the ministry going on there. You know that it has a special place in my heart. I was a student there in the early 2000s and now serve as the president there. My name is Rex for everyone. I think everybody knows that, but just in case. First, as you see the sheet, our mission is to offer access to a special kind of community in the tri-state, a community that focuses on deep study of God's word. We call it believing biblical scholarship, growing in our faith, growing in our knowledge of the scriptures, growing in our knowledge of the truths about our God, and getting equipped for ministry. And so that's our vision. We want to see students leaving our training ready to fulfill their ministries. They're ready to complete the thing that God has called them to do. We're excited to see things like 81% of our graduates residing in the tri-state. That's part of our mission. We don't mind when God sends them in other places, and that happens occasionally, but we really have a heart for the tri-state. So we're trying to offer access. That means removing obstacles from people so that they can have access to the training that we offer so that they can fulfill their ministries. This fall, we had 18 undergraduate students seeking degrees, 8 freshmen, 5 sophomores, 2 seniors. Now, they stay freshmen for a long time, and they stay seniors for a long time because most of our students are non-traditional students taking 1 or 2 classes a semester at the most. Occasionally, we get a full-timer in there, but that's a bit rare. We have 3 graduate students. Pastor Matt's one of our graduate students this semester. It's been great to have him. And then Garrett Wheeler, you see him in the top right. He's the assistant pastor at First Baptist Church of Proctorville. And just to talk a little bit about Garrett, you know, Garrett was an undergraduate at Tri-State, and now he's come back to do his master's degree. He's doing a lot of great work with young adults, college students at First Baptist, and he also, just to speak to kind of the quality of the type of man that he is, his brother recently tragically passed away. It was a very awful situation. And he took that tragedy as an opportunity to not only speak at the funeral of the gospel to his friends and family, but has continued to minister in such a way during that time. So he's just a quality student. Our students have recently, they always complete assessments throughout the year. Recently, our students completed their ABHE Bible Knowledge Exam. They're still completing their ministry competency map. If you flip on the backside, you'll see this is one of the most exciting things to me that's happened since I've been president, seeing the results of our Bible Knowledge Exam from our students. COVID kind of interrupted this a bit, but now we're back on track. If you look at the lighter colors and the higher bars, that's our school. Compared to all the schools together in our accrediting association. So Tri-State Bible College is in every single area producing students that, at least in Bible knowledge, that is about the books of the Bible, about general Bible knowledge, about specific Bible knowledge, and then also in the teachings of Scripture. So, I duplicated the same one. There's another one. I gave you 2 of the same graph. All right, so there's another graph where it shows like on eschatology and soteriology and New Testament, Old Testament, biblical language. It shows that Tri-State Bible College students in every single area is performing higher than all ABHE schools. So it's just a credit to our faculty, really, and the work that they do and how they invest in the students. Pray for our admissions team as we recruit for the spring. We've got some strategies that we're working through each week, returning students, bachelor's to master's students, students who have filled out an application but haven't enrolled in classes, things like that. Our Appalachian Ministry Institute wraps up its 3rd year of our Level Pass podcast, which has been a great resource. We've heard great feedback from the community about how much that has helped, especially testimonies from people who are pastors who are new to the area, who sort of have to get oriented to the kind of culture that is here in the tri-state. We have our 3rd annual Appalachian Ministry Conference on April 23rd. And then a new thing that the Institute hopes to do is to offer a preaching camp, which is like just a basic training day for preachers in the tri-state to get some help with their preaching. So pray for that. We have an Akron Extension site just across from Akron University at the Chapel Church. And we have recently added our first Akron board member. Pastor Chase Jones serves on our board now, and that's to help sort of strengthen that link so that we have a more effective ministry there. Last thing, ministry formation. Dr. Yakubu Jakata, who is our campus life coordinator, is working with Dr. Phillips, who's our academic officer, to update our ministry formation. If you've been with Tri-State a long time, you may recall Christian Service is what that was called in the past. So we're really revamping that for a launch in the fall so that it's more of a partnership with local churches. Actually, Brad and I have talked about this for a little bit, and it's come up in faculty meetings at times, so we're looking forward to that. Just to be a little open, financially, things are really rough at the college right now. So when I heard about the harvest offering as I was out preaching here and there, and my family came home and said, "Hey, guess what?" I am so grateful. It is really, really timely for you all to consider us in that way, to give us a gift like that. It is really, really timely. So thank you so much for that. We have had to let some staff go at the college. Through November that happened. But we are continuing into the spring, and we are working with what remains. And I just preached on Mark 8, and Jesus said, "Hey, we're in this desolate place. Figure out how to feed these people." Well, the disciples, they saw insufficient resources in a desolate place, but they didn't see the sufficient Savior right in front of them. And not when they got in the boat either, because they were worried about forgetting bread. And so we want to look at our sufficient Savior. We want to take an inventory, even if it's only 7 loaves and a little bit and a few fish. And we want to say, "Lord, thank you, and strengthen this." So that's what we're doing at Tri-State. Any questions about the Bible College? It's an important ministry. It really is in our area. We had a board meeting, a special board meeting recently, as you can imagine, during these times. And we said, for 53 years, the Bible College has quietly strengthened Tri-State churches. It's not a big flashy thing, but it's strong in it's strong in its weakness, if I can say it that way. So keep praying for us. Keep praying for us. For Fly. So at Fly, just some basics about Fly. Fly teaches youth to believe and live for Jesus through basic doctrinal teaching. So each week we teach a very basic doctrinal truth, and we have units. So we're in the church unit right now. So we've been teaching just basic doctrinal truths about the church. Actually this Wednesday and then into the spring, we'll talk about the end times. So just basic, here's what the future holds for kids to learn about. And I think we get into what is the Bible at the end of the spring, if I remember correctly. So we just introduce basic doctrinal truths, ground it to a verse in Scripture, connected to a verse in Scripture. And then in their small groups, they do Bible discovery. So here's the verse that we learned in large group. Let's write it down. Let's observe 3 things about that verse. What do you see? You know, basic Bible study principles, teaching kids to study the Bible for themselves. How would you pray this verse? And then how are you going to live this verse this week? And so each week, it's the same thing every week. An evening in Fly looks large group time, a little bit of music. The Fly gummies are a big hit. They love the Fly gummies. There's a meal before all of this that we call our in-flight meal that Andrea has organized. We're so thankful for that. And then the large group time, and then they go to either games or small group, and then they switch. And that's basically it. You know, it's time. We have a lot of great leaders. I was actually looking at the list. We've got on our text group, we've got 16 different leaders that help with Fly. We couldn't do it without all of them. So a lot of moving parts, from games to the meal to the small groups, and just the relationships that are developed. You know, the kids who come need those adult relationships with people who love Jesus. Fall content, spring content. Flight crew. Okay, and from Amy, I've got just a note from her here that I'll read. She says, "Fly has been great so far this year. We have several new volunteers in addition to all our volunteers from last year returning. We have an average of 60 kids most nights, some a little less, some more. The meal has been a great addition, thanks to Andrea and her team, and the 9 square is very well used. So that's been phenomenal. It definitely keeps a bit more organization in the gym after things are, you know, when things are wrapping up at the end, when we have that free time. This is pretty incredible. 75% of our Fly kids are not from our church. So, and it's not like we're just bussing in kids. These are kids that we know, like the people, the volunteers who are at Fly, we know these kids, and so we bring them ourselves. And so it's a real relational, you know, multiple touches on these lives kind of outreach. Conversations happening in the car, there and afterwards. Around 30% of them are not in church any other time. This is it. You know, this is there. Like when we sang the Christmas songs Wednesday night. How many of you have heard these songs? How many of you have never heard these songs? What, 95%? Never heard the song before. So, you know, we're evangelizing. We're trying to make disciples here of young people. So that's from Amy. And then Beyond Fly, just a final reflection here. When I was an outreach pastor in Dallas, my goal was to create sort of organize a schedule throughout the year that led to multiple touches and relationships. That's how, you know, you keep sharing the gospel, and you share it here and you share it there, and then you share it again and you share it again. And you kind of have how do I move people into these different spaces so that they keep hearing it over and over again? And so many of our Fly kids went to camp this year. Not all of them, but several of them. So that's an example of things like, it's not just Fly for us. It's how do we get them to camp? How do we maybe get their families to church? That's something we need to work on a little bit more. But we love it. I mean, we absolutely love what's going on. So thank you for your support and for giving toward it, and for all the adult volunteers and young volunteers who help. So
you can move it down. I've gone to Cider Hill since I was about 7 years old, but this past summer was a little bit different because it was my first year of Revolution, which is the high school camp. It was a great experience, and I had an awesome counselor who I related a lot to. She helped me to be better at talking about God with others, even when it might be scary or you think you might get made fun of for it. Now, obviously, it's a lot of fun to do the activities like the rock wall, zip line, and the Goliath swing, but my favorite part were the sessions and listening to Heart Song play the worship music. It is so encouraging to be around other Christians and to hear their stories of what they have to say. Thank you to WBC for your prayers and financial support so that we can have an awesome time of learning more about Jesus and our walk with Christ.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing here. Okay. Takes two hands. Future reference. All right, so youth group at Wheelersburg Baptist. This is Caitlin and I's second year doing it with the purpose of coming alongside parents and just helping them disciple their kids, point them to Jesus. And we have a focus just on understanding the Word of God and encouraging them to be in it on a regular basis and apply it to their lives. And so earlier this year, we finished up Colossians and went through some of the Psalms, as well as the How to Eat Your Bible book. Just, again, basic principles on understanding the Word, meditating on the Word, that kind of thing. And focusing on the habit of being in the Word. And we had a lot of fun. We did a lot of activities. But then since summer, we had kind of an explosion of sorts in the youth group. A bunch of seventh graders coming in, basically doubling the size of the group, which made me a little nervous, you know, to be honest. I relate probably the best with adults. And so the younger, the more kind of nervous I get. But That's one of the ways the Lord has provided. It's been a joy to have them, to have the seventh graders. And but the Lord has provided help. So we've had Austin, Sydney, Bethany all coming in, stepping in alongside Caitlin and I to serve the kids, to minister to the kids, and they just have a love for the kids, know how to relate with them. And so that's one way the Lord's been providing and helps Caitlin and I be able to focus on other things, planning. There's more planning that needs to happen and teaching. We've been kind of going through James and been able to really focus more on that. Actually prepare a little bit of a message each time that's with the kids in mind. And so that's all thanks to those that have come alongside us and are helping us. Also going through Psalm 119 with them. We've got a Bible reading plan for them. And just kind of trying to dig deep with them into the Word. And that's another way the Lord has been just evidencing His grace, is that, you know, sometimes it gets a little crazy. Sometimes we go on with funny stories for a long time and it's all good. But there's a general interest in the Word. And so we see the Lord's Spirit working in that way. The cool thing about so many younger ones coming in is you see the older ones leading by example, stepping up, engaging in the conversations, and really just leading by example in their character, but also in just their interest and engagement with the Word. And so our emphasis is, as I said, being in the Word. They're interested in it. We've started more consistent guy-girl time, extended to 2 hours. It was an hour and a half, allowing for that, which is, again, just create an atmosphere of them being able to be real, be transparent, but above all, just applying what we just heard from the Word specifically and directly to our lives. So we're still working on that. Takes time to kind of, you know, be able to feel comfortable being transparent. It takes time. The Lord's working in that as well. We also have a lot of fun. Since summer, we've been some fun places, Noble Family Farms. We've been out to camp, climbed the rock wall, made s'mores, all that kind of thing. Going to Kings Island in a couple weeks, and we'll be doing winter camp as well. And that's all by God's grace, just all these cool opportunities coming up and providing the means. You know, it's never, Joe's always telling us, we're never going to let money be an obstacle for kids to come. And because of the support of the church, that's what makes that possible. So it's awesome to have no limitations really with that. So we're building relationships slowly but surely. We need, you know, prayer for that. But God's been providing a lot of grace and seeing His Spirit at work in it. So,
Reagan, now you feel my struggle with this. How do you put technology into 2 minutes? That's what I've been struggling with for the past week, and it's hard to do until you put video on there, so that's a little bit easier. When you were talking about being a God-centered church, I thought about how media plays into that. I thought about that, and as I was listening to you, a word came to me, so I wrote it down. We are a God-centered church that is growing locally and expanding in our reach, and that we do that through video by weekly service broadcasts. Right now, September, we had 382 independent views on sermon.net, and we're averaging 100 views per service on Facebook. I want you to think about that for a minute. It's pretty impressive, right? The missionary updates, as Linda was talking about, CDD training, you know, the services are just being sent out from here, not by cassette tape, but by video, and they're able to be viewed by people all over the world. Reminds me of Mark 4, parable of the sower. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. We may never know who's watching that, who's listening to that. But praise God, we have the technology to do it. I go to different churches, and I come back, and I realize how blessed we are to have what we have, to be able to reach the people that we reach. And there are people watching us right now. We know that. We logged in and looked. You know, there are people that can't get to us that are watching us, that are hearing the word of God. And so I'll end with this. If you want to know, well, first of all, let's look up here. Making disciples locally and worldwide by knowing Christ and making Christ known. And I think we've done a good job of that through our media. And so I'll ask, has anybody sitting in here used it? Have you ever watched a video? Yep. How about the Zoom meetings on Wednesdays? Have you done that? Yeah, you can give prayer requests from your house or from wherever you are. I've watched from hotel rooms. Isn't that amazing? And how much more of obeying the Great Commission can we be by going into the world and preaching the gospel? Amen.
Two hands. Okay. Yeah, I thought when I was following Aaron, I thought, uh-oh, have to pull that down. Isaiah 50, verse 4 says, "The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will." When I reflect on that passage, I think about how Willisburg Baptist Church is using biblical counseling for discipleship and training, as well as providing biblical counseling to those with needs. This counseling is far-reaching to those beyond our church and community. We have people who drive quite a distance to come here for counseling. And it's so awesome to see how God is touching lives through those opportunities. And I've had the opportunity in the summer going into the fall to assist Barb Miller in two different counselees. And it has really opened my eyes to the amount of time that the counselors spend preparing for that counseling session, the time that they spend as they go back and they review all the information that they get before the person comes, and then the amount of time between those counseling sessions of praying and of just really focusing on how can we meet their needs. And it has been a blessing to me. It's also been, it's not always easy. And I look at Barb and I think, oh my word, what are you going to say now? And because she is so knowledgeable of God's word, she never struggles with coming with a verse, coming with a passage, and pulling it all together. So with that being said, I want to encourage each of you, not just one time, but on a daily basis, to pray for our counselors, that God will give them the wisdom, the discernment, and the understanding that they need to help the folks that walk through the door that may drive, and we have had one young lady drive about an hour to come here. And that's a long distance to come for counseling. And the most wonderful thing is that counseling is free. They don't have to come in and give their credit card. They don't have to write a check or leave money. They're brought into the church, they're offered counseling, and then they're prayed over till they come back for the next one. And I'm just very thankful that we have this opportunity. And I would also like for you to pray that God will lay on other people's hearts the need to come into the counseling as a counselor. So thank you for having this available for people in the church, our community, and the region.
I get to talk tonight about a ministry that's really dear to me. Oftentimes, when you don't even know it, you have been prayed for, and prayed for a lot. 7-ish years ago, I was told about this ministry called Prayer Partners. I mean, I had no idea it even existed. So I was invited, and I wasn't going to name the group, but I'm going to, because I think it's important if you have a burden or a prayer request to know that there's somebody there. So typically Pastor and Jack and Dave and Joe and Dennis and myself and Homer and often others. It isn't a private club. There's no secret handshake. There's no dues. It's a group of men who gather together about 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, finish typically by 9, and it's all about prayer. We pray for a wide variety of things, and the whole congregation, and for Pastor as he comes to bring the message. An incredible deep time of fellowship open to all of the men in the church. It can involve a bit of a sacrifice. I knew that Cindy would need to make her way to church alone because I typically leave 2 hours earlier than we would. She said she was totally okay with that and encouraged me to do it. So I discovered that I really hate to miss it.
Good evening, church family. My name is Jason, and Pastor Brad asked me to give a short testimony as to my participation in the Preachers in Training program that he has been doing for several years at Wheelersburg Baptist Church. Coming to you by video, because at the time that you will be seeing this, I will probably be on my way to Pittsburgh for work. So that is why I am doing a video instead of being there live with you. Just very quickly, I've been involved in the Preachers in Training program probably for a total of around 3 years. Involved in it a couple years prior to getting my current job, and we went away for a while, and then when we came back, I delayed in getting back involved, but been back involved in it about the last year. The biggest thing that I can say about the Preachers in Training is that it really gives you an opportunity to dive deep, deep into God's Word, to learn how to interpret the text that you're preaching on in light of the context of the particular chapter in the particular book, in the particular setting that they're involved in. It's just very good training in just how to study God's Word correctly. And then on top of that, after you do present the Word to the church, trying to confine it to 10 minutes, sometimes it's very difficult, but we meet afterwards, and then we just discuss the texts that were involved, what we could do better, what we did well, and it just is definitely an accountability thing. And Pastor Brad is very involved in that, and his many, many, many years of faithful service just help to enhance our understanding of God's Word and what He expects of each individual. So anyway, I miss being there with you all this evening, and hopefully this service will serve to spur you on to do God's will for the week. Thanks.
All right. I have the privilege of giving a short update on the new missionary display that we had that started almost at the beginning of the year. I don't remember how it came up, but Pastor and I started talking about it. Talked to the board about it and got a team together. That team consisted of Adam and Dennis and Allison, who you'll hear from here in just a minute, and then Austin and Sydney as well, and started thinking through how can we update this. It was something that hadn't been done in a while, and then also some of the pictures. Joel Richner, one of our missionaries, was on the display, but as like a 12-year-old with his mom and dad. So we needed to get some updated pictures there, and so working our way through that. And it's been a blessing to do that, and it's been fun to see the last couple weeks that it's been done. A bunch of little kids going up and looking at it and trying to figure it all out, and that's been something really cool to see, in addition to everyone else looking at it as well. So pray that the Lord will continue to use it as a reminder for us that He is not only making disciples locally, but worldwide, and we need to be praying for our missionaries and remembering them it with support and other things. So Allison couldn't be here tonight. She's got a short testimony here. I'll read for you, and then we'll move on to the next thing here. So it says, this is from Allison. While working on the ministry board, I found myself having some complications and sometimes having to do my own research to find images of all the missionaries we support. In the process, I was able to see and realize how much of an impact these missionaries have left. Whether it is local or global, I never realized how much influence some people had on our community, only to see them take these ideas and implement them to other in parts of the world where God needed them most. The worst part about this project was learning when someone had passed away, I have to look at look for a completely new image, but it also hurt my heart to see the couple never took pictures apart from each other, and I couldn't imagine the loss when experienced while serving God in a place far from home. When I learned about the passing of Bob Littoral, I almost couldn't bring myself to remove him from the poster, but Bob was the one person that was the hardest to find the image for, and I finally had found a great image of him and the weekend before his death. But through all my research I did, I saw the impact of his life, which made learning of his loss so much more intense. Seeing all of the work that he had done in Wheelersburg and all of those places around the world, I wish I still left him there. I'm thankful to be a part of this project because I got to learn about our missionaries and see the paint color of the church behind the old walls. I was also able to learn so many things about our missionaries, our church, the work of our wonderful team that makes our missionary board so beautiful.
That was a blessing to hear all those, wasn't it? And that was just a representative. That was 10 or so people. We could have had another 10 or 12 ministries highlighted because there's a lot of things happening in the church. So that's 2023. Now 2024 is in front of us, and that's a big part of why we have our annual business meeting. So, Dave, if you'll go ahead and hand out the ballots and